We kick off hour number two of the program. It's a Football Friday, and that means it's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They got you covered. Been helping their members here move upward and forward since 1934. And they're the official credit union of 3 and Out for all your banking needs. And they've got the new card rewards now. Even with your debit card, you can earn rewards when you just select credit and use it. They've got you covered at tvacreditunion.com. The branches are open. They do ask that you wear a mask if you're in one of the counties that requires it. They got over 30 locations right here in East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3 and Out. So what, Houston, what are you excited about for this weekend? I know the college slate is kind of again. I mean, there's at least power teams playing. It's not like it was a couple weeks ago. But then we got the whole NFL slate. You got the U.S. Open going on as well. Wingfoot didn't have much teeth yesterday as Justin Thomas shot a 5-under-65. But big weekend in sports.
Did you see that they had two hole-in-ones yesterday?
I saw the Patrick Reed one, the just bounced once and dunked. Who made the other one? Do you remember? Was it cool?
It was basically the exact same shot.
No.
Same
hole?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It didn't one bounce in. It hit probably rolled. 4 yards shorter, bounced twice, and rolled in. I can't remember who hit it, though. That's on me. In order, NFL, golf, college football, NBA. Need the Celtics to step it up.
Yesterday, the Charlotte-North Carolina game got canceled.
Yeah, Charlotte had some cases pop up after their game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Was that why?
Correct.
Oh, let's see here. Yeah, the college slate, until you get till the nightcap, Louisville-Miami. No, Miami at Louisville.
Yeah.
7:30 ABC. Really not that much else.
Not doing
else
it for you.
No, I mean, Syracuse stinks. They're at Pittsburgh. Maybe Houston at Baylor? That one might not be bad. Noon kickoff on Fox for that one.
We'll see if the Big 12 has any teams outside of Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, shoot, if Baylor's
struggling. Yeah, this is our first look at Baylor.
This is Dave Aranda, right?
Correct.
First year, the former LSU defensive coordinator that was always really good there.
South Florida at Notre Dame. Never mind.
I mean, you got some games that
Notre Dame's 26-point favorite.
If the favorite gets in trouble, it's like, oh, tune to here.
Right.
South Florida's got a 3-point lead with 10 to go. You know, crazy stuff like that. But
App State Marshall's the CBS 330 game of the week.
Marshall's going to win that game.
Just go ahead and lock that in, Will.
That's my Will Stevens lock of the week.
That Marshall will
be App State favored by 4.5.
Marshall.
Okay.
Money line. Wins the game.
Bet.
Did you just take it? Did you just take the bet? Did you just bet against him?
Well, there's no stakes, but I'll go the other way. I think
Interesting.
Gets it done.
Okay. Wake Forest, NC State.
UCF plays Georgia Tech. I think that game will determine how good Florida State actually is.
So if Georgia Tech rolls, it's like, oh, maybe Georgia Tech's not the worst team in the ACC.
Yeah.
If UCF
UCF favored by 7.5, if that tells you anything.
Florida State might have some issues.
What was the line in that Florida State-Georgia Tech game? Do you remember?
It was nine double digit.
Florida State was favored by 9.5, 10?
It was, Davey's right. It was either 11.5 or 12.5, depending on what point of the week you were.
I just, because like the big headline was, wow, this is 2 years in a row where Florida State has lost as a double digit favorite
in the home opener?
In the home opener against a freshman quarterback.
That's right. Yeah, college slate. I'm pushing through to next week.
All right.
Next week's when it happens. Just get me there. Please.
Makes sense. That's probably where
next Thursday you got UAB South Alabama. Friday you get Memphis at UT San Antonio. Then Saturday, Kansas State at Oklahoma, Florida at Ole Miss, Kentucky Auburn, Louisville at Pitt, Got some ranked matchups. I'd like to see it.
Is LSU versus Mississippi State?
Yep, 3:30 CBS.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Oh, let's go.
That's the game I'm looking forward to the most.
That's the hat tip to the defending champ.
Do we kick off?
LSU is 19-point favorites in that game.
7 or 7:30?
7:30.
So it should be over.
Sweet.
Did y'all just gloss over Louisiana playing Georgia State?
Yes.
My Sun Belt team's going to get revenge for us, boys. It's going to happen.
I mean, they are a 16-point favorite.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to happen.
All right.
On ESPN, South Carolina is favored in the matchup predictor, according to the FPI, 53.2%. But Tennessee, 3.5-point favorite.
I can't wait to see the lines when they come out on my bookie for, you know, next week. You know, for the
Sunday
SEC. Open.
You'll figure it out Sunday.
Someone said that Tennessee's FPI had moved again. I'm trying to pull that up for the entire season.
I thought it was Rick Butler, and he couldn't round. Remember, he said the FPI says Tennessee's only going to win four games now, and we found out it was like 4.6.
It's down to 3 right
what?
Now. Yeah.
What is?
Tennessee.
The FPI.
The FPI is Tennessee going 3-7 right now.
Projections.
The games.
How?
Are,
why? What?
I don't know. I'm just saying the games that Tennessee is favored in, Missouri, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt.
3-7 would raise some eyebrows. Maybe just one eyebrow.
What happened, though? I don't understand this.
Hold on. I have the
We just got Cade Mays and we drop? This is stupid.
I have...
We canceled the FPI. I really don't care.
They didn't update it today or with that information
so
available.
Maybe it'll go back up now with Cade Mays.
You get four wins.
He is a 5-star.
How much can one offensive lineman really sway the
probably about
results?
0.4 wins.
Yeah.
Be my guess.
Let's see. I got the other one saved in my phone somewhere.
Well, people were asking the question, does the Cade Mays getting cleared change your win total prediction?
Not at all.
Of course it doesn't. For you, you don't count.
It was...
It'll make the team better.
I was at 6-4. It was solidifying my 6-4 over 5-5. Because I've been stuck between those two all summer. I was starting to trend back to 5-5 with, you know, Wanya Morris being out 28 days and how many of these other guys have been out and trying to worry about our coronavirus issues.
Offensively, should we be close to 100% to start the season?
You mean like all on the field?
Yeah. I mean, I think right now everyone's back on the offensive line. We should have running backs back in the fold by middle of the week next week. I haven't heard a word on the receivers being out. Not sure about the defense, although you did get Aubrey Solomon back at practice yesterday after he missed a little bit of time. And then I didn't see anything about Middleton, but he opted in and said he's playing this year and next year on his Twitter account.
So you assume he's okay?
I think we had a safety out and maybe a corner. But they're supposed to be back for the start of the season. Maybe we did it. Maybe we did it right. Maybe we got it right when we were supposed to get it.
All right.
So
fingers crossed.
According to the FPI, Kentucky is the game that moved. Let me find the date that I took this screenshot. August 27th. So since August 27th, which we're about 3 weeks away from that, you were... I guess you had the probability of a 54.7% chance to beat Kentucky. That has moved down to a 48.1% chance. I don't know as far as Kentucky's roster, what has happened as far as them gaining eligibility for maybe certain players. Was Joey Gatewood the guy that transferred from Auburn to Kentucky?
Don't know. That name sounds familiar, but I think so.
Something's happened because Tennessee's chances of beating South Carolina have increased, actually, since the last time on the 27th.
Maybe their running back going down. Lower theirs. Marshawn Lloyd, is that his name? We've got it. I mean, come on. If you can't beat South Carolina... Like they did name their starting quarterback yesterday.
Yes, they did. Colin Hill.
It's going to be Colin Hill. We were talking about it with the website group here at fanrunradio.com, and the debate was Colin Hill, more or less worried that it's him over Ryan Helinski?
I mean, he's more familiar with Bobo's system, so I'll say more worried, but it's still going to be on everybody else. Like, I still don't know what they have at receiver. I don't know how good their offensive line is. They're down their best running back. They lost their best running back from last year. They're two best running backs. And then you had Muschamp saying that the offense scored touchdowns on five of the first six possessions in the scrimmage. So does that mean that their defense is butt? Because that's kind of what it sounds like. I mean, a Will Muschamp defense giving up five touchdowns on six drives, I don't know if that's ever happened.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and say South Carolina's defense might just be butt. Are we healthy? I don't know.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Are they healthy? I don't know. Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I want to get into that more later. It goes, that quarterback question's a pretty unique one. When we come back, we'll get right to the phone line. So if you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. You can answer that question. Feel better or worse with Colin Hill. He's the Colorado State transfer. He's torn three ACLs in 4 years. He got selected to be Mike Bobo's quarterback over Ryan Helinski, who was...
You follow South Carolina football, or at least growing up. Is Helinski the highest-rated quarterback they have
ever
had?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so it's a big deal down there. So I want you on that more in a bit. We'll go to the phone lines when we come back. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, a Fan Run Radio Football Friday edition, NFL Week 2, College Football Week 3, and, high school ball tonight as well across the state of, across most of the state of Tennessee. I think Shelby County, shut it back down or something. I don't know what they're doing in Nashville. Did you see the governor said he's not giving Nashville any more money? Not sure how... Mayor Cooper's been using their COVID-19 relief funds there, and I'm assuming those emails that came out did not help the situation. In fact, Cooper had a press conference where he started immediately talking about how they were going to start opening things right after that happened. It's like, amazing how
that was yesterday,
works.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. But anyway, back to football.
He also claimed they've been very transparent.
I know we were about to get into...
Liar!
We're about to get to the phone is what we're about to do.
Okay, I'll save this comment for after
this. Okay.
All right, let's go to Matt.
He's been patiently waiting.
What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Matt, are you getting wound up? You getting in game week form? Matt, come on.
I'm with you.
I don't know, man. It's 2020, dude. I think when they kick it off, I'll probably be in mode. You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay.
Just hard to get there, and especially when you guys are talking about Tennessee with three wins this season. Jeez, man.
Dave, you brought that up. Shocker.
If I'm gonna be honest with you guys, if they get three wins this year, I'll be hardcore on the fire.
Uh oh. No. Yeah. Oh, really?
Dude, you guys can't tell me. Dude, we are going. Arguably, now we've got. You could argue the best offensive line in the country, could you not?
You could, yes,
on paper, yeah.
And they're saying three wins like that's I mean, that'd be rough.
We're flying under the radar. We do better when there's no expectations.
That's not true.
God, shouldn't there be expectations this year though?
Yeah, there should be.
I mean,
he's just on the FBI.
I'm talking about nationally.
Oh, I know, but nationally, I mean, expectations. We live here, but we. I mean, if they were to win BYU and Georgia State last year, what would the national pundits be saying about Tennessee football right now? We'd probably be picked, I mean, maybe ahead of Florida, behind Georgia, I would think, if we would have won.
Probably not ahead of Florida just because of what they did to you.
Say beat your ass. Like, I doubt that. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. You'd be right there in the soup.
Florida beats all right. You know, 3 years ago, Florida had fell in the doldrums. Supposed to be horrible, and they came out and still won, what, 9 games that year? Or 10? I think it was 10 wins. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
To Florida's credit, though, they don't wait until the program is completely tanked before they make a move on the coach.
That's exactly right, man. That's exactly right.
McElwain won the East twice, had one bad season, and they rolled him.
Yeah.
Butch Jones had no East championships. And I mean, we waited and gave him one really, really bad season, but the wheels were already starting to fall off the Butch Jones wagon. Yeah. But we gave him that one more year. Got to make sure everybody sees we respect our coaches. We give them extra time if they need it. We don't just run a guy. Florida's like, get the hell out of here.
Yep. Same thing with quarterbacks here too, huh?
Okay. Interesting, huh? Interesting.
Well, I don't know, guys. I mean, I just think that they've got – it. You know, if we come out against – you know, we should be – we've got better talent all across the board than South Carolina. I don't care if you're playing there or not. We ought to beat them literally just talent-wise – by 14 to 21 points. That's literally how much better talent
we have.
That's
what you did last year.
Now, will we do that? Yeah. So what if they don't? I mean, what if we come out and Garantano looks like crap and South Carolina, you know, on paper, I mean, what if people are picking them to beat us? It's like if that happens, I mean, dude, I don't know, man. It'd be a long season, especially if they beat you with this offensive line. And if Garantano just comes out and looks like he's no better than he was, I mean, that could be a serious problem. Now, he could come out and – you know, totally flip the script, and I'm pulling for him to be, you know, he could turn the corner year two under his system. I mean, the guy's had, what, four offensive coordinators? I mean,
yep.
You know. So, I don't know, guys. Year two, I'm hoping he can, you know, what do they say? The freshman to sophomore leap's huge. Like, you could technically say he's a sophomore. That's just he's finally got 2 years in the system. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to try and grade the offensive line kind of as a whole, and if they can't get it done, we got problems on the coaching staff, and then that goes to quarterback. If the offensive line's good and the quarterback can't, you know, doesn't play well, then we got issues at quarterback. And if you can't get quarterback right in college football, you're not going to have a good football program, right? I mean, look at teams that overachieve. They either have weaknesses some places and they cover it all up because they got a stud quarterback, or they're underachieving because, oh man, look at these recruiting classes, we are loaded, and it's like, oh crap, our quarterback is not good enough. I mean, it's all about the quarterback.
What's Kentucky's quarterback's name?
Terry Wilson.
Yeah, take Terry Wilson, or last year take him off that team. What do they do?
They he was do the off exact the team. Same. As they did.
He got hurt. They brought in
Lynn Bowden.
Yeah, Lynn Bowden. He just ran around on everybody.
Oh, Lynn Bowden. That's right. That's who I was thinking of, actually. Lynn Bowden finished the year. They actually played really good. Now, is he not starting this year?
No, he
just got traded to
Miami. He got drafted by the Raiders and then traded to Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in the NFL.
Well, that's what a quarterback – but they played pretty solid with him. I mean, quarterback just makes the difference. It does. It's like – It's everything on a team, especially if you have a mediocre team, which is what Tennessee has on paper. I think we should be better with our talent, but we just haven't been. I mean, at some point, guys, when do these top 10, top 15 recruiting classes start paying off? We've had them for the last decade. I mean, I don't think recruiting's the problem. It's, you just got to get W's on the field.
Well, you showed last year when you played really bad halves against Kentucky – and maybe not a bad half, but you made some dumb and bad plays against teams the second half of the season, but you were talented enough where it didn't matter. You still came back. You won those games. Some of them were kind of close, but, I mean, you didn't even play that well, and you beat the Missouris and the Kentuckys of the SEC. So that you need to play a little better this year, and that should continue. All those should be W's. You cannot drop one of those games. And South Carolina and Missouri are prime examples. We get to find out right out of the gate. Have we taken the step forward where those games are wins now? Because they have to be. You cannot be messing around in the fourth quarter with teams like that, because that can't be our Georgia State and BYU this year. That can't happen anymore. You got to be beating teams like that. You got to be beating Georgia State teams like a drum, and the BYU's got to be double digit wins. Like, you just and you should be so talented that when you don't play that well, it's like last year when they came back and beat Kentucky, or last year where they moved the ball like crazy up and down the field but had a dumb fumble against Missouri, and it didn't matter because you were just talented enough to beat them. That has to continue, but with another step forward, to where when you're the opposite, you're that other team against Georgia. Oh, man, Georgia didn't play well today, and Tennessee beat them by three. Like, that's got to be the next step.
Yeah. Well, the gap between us and, like, we should, you know, I agree with you. We should be beating the Georgia States by, you know, like a drum. But we ought to be beating South Carolina. If you're looking at recruiting rankings, I mean, Kentucky usually is not in the top 25 in recruiting. Now, I know the last couple of years they've done better, but still, we out-recruit Kentucky. We out-recruit South Carolina. We definitely out-recruit Missouri. I mean, Missouri is usually down the 40s, mm-hmm. and we're still having problems beating Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, and then add Vanderbilt. That's four right there. I mean, you get four conference wins out of the gate.
And, yeah, from where you've been the last couple of years as far as competition-wise, like, you're in every game with those teams for
Butch
the most
Jones
part.
Went 4-4 in a year where he bragged about how well they did. But we just picked you four wins to start the record, kind of the, you know, how good are you going to be in the SEC?
Yeah.
And then you throw a West team in that you should beat, or, you know, it depends on the year, was what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Not Alabama, but the other West team, half the years, that should be a win. Half the years is going to be a toss-up, probably. I mean, there's your fifth, and now it's just, you know, you're going to be able to play with Alabama, Georgia, Florida. It's the same question every year.
Let me ask you this. I'll get out of here and listen to what you guys have to say. But it seems like to me over the last 3 or 4 years, even, you know, at the tail end of Butch Jones's era, and even starting off with Pruitt, is that it's not so much coaching or talent. It's that the team just doesn't gel. Like, there is no leadership on the field at all. I mean, you got a couple of players here or there that do, but it just seems like the guys don't really respect each other. They don't play hard. You've seen them quit. I've seen Pruitt teams quit, just like the Butch Jones teams quit. I mean, so if they don't get that fixed this year, that to me is going to be the biggest red flag. If they come out and there's no leadership from Garantano and the guys just don't seem like they're gelling together, they don't. And I don't want to hear people say, well, you know, it's been a 2020 year. It's been COVID, you know, all this stuff. Well, every team is dealing with the same exact crap. Every team. We're all on everybody's on the even playing field. We're going to have some players out some games, and other teams are going to have some players out some, you know. So if we still come out and lay an egg and win three games this year, I hope to God people don't use COVID as an excuse, even though, you know, over on State Run, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, I'm sure people will.
The only reason I would use that as an excuse, Matt, is if, you know, every single game you're out like five starters
or something. You can see why.
Right,
the logic. I mean, they're...
And Matt, I'll agree with you on kind of the... I think they quit last year against Florida. I don't think they quit in any other game. I mean, you couldn't quit against Georgia State because you were getting beat. They never really quit against BYU. They just gave up a dumb play that allowed BYU to win it.
They quit a lot in year one. Like, and I don't mean in games. I just mean, like, we saw it at West Virginia right in front of us, right?
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. Jeremy Pruitt's trying to change the culture. Fourth down, everybody just jogging off the field. And he had to call timeout. He chewed them out. They went back out there. They went play action.
They scored a touchdown.
That was a kind of a microcosm of what Jeremy Pruitt's been having to try and do through year one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the only good news that came out of Georgia State and BYU is they could have quit then on the whole season.
Yep.
And they didn't. In fact, I thought they were going to quit on the whole season. I thought last year, I did not think that they would turn around and win all of those middling SEC games down the stretch.
Neither did I.
But they did. They got it done. So that's why you have to have some, at least some cautious optimism that when they come out of the gate against South Carolina and Missouri, that they're going to be better than those teams and show it on the field. Now, I understand that we've had a lot of optimism at points, and they completely just snap your heart in half because they don't even show. Like last year, I was super excited for the season, and they just came out in Neyland Stadium and just snapped my heart in two and said, we still ain't got it, you know, and let Georgia State be more physical than them, I think, which was the most frustrating thing to me. So now you just, I don't know. Got to reset. I mean, there's no point in worrying about it. Like, there's going to be a game eventually, and we'll find out on that day.
8 days.
Hopefully 8 days, yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully everybody can stay clean, and we can play some football.
Bubble up.
I want to mention, too, as we talk about Tennessee, kind of back-to-match gelling angle there, too, because I do think that is something that's been a struggle for this team from a personnel standpoint. We'll get to more phone calls as well. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here, Friday edition of 3 and Out.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? Was this requested?
Yeah.
Liar.
No, it was.
Okay.
It's funny.
Wait, by who? You remember?
Yeah, I'm not going to put him on it on there.
You told everybody else's request.
I've said one person. I said Eric's.
Okay.
First name's okay.
Do we get some initials, maybe?
I mean, they're on Twitter, right?
Is it DH? Is the request by DH?
No, it's not. Okay. It's not by me.
All right. I like this song. I was just curious.
The Britney Spears Toxic Water Treatment Facility. That was the, Chad Kroger, who always goes to the city council meetings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tries like to, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Let's go back to the phone line. It's
really
865-546-8200.
It's more just for context.
I'm laughing.
I wasn't trying to
inside.
Tell a joke. But yeah, phone lines. Roberto,
like
you're
like
on
toxic.
The line.
It's one of my...
Guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I like that song.
Good morning, Roberto. Guys. Davey.
My wife gives
good morning,
me a
guys.
Time.
Davey, like thanks it. For playing Britney for me. Thanks for playing my request.
You're welcome.
It was...
Leave Britney alone.
Just because you guys brought it up, her shaving her head is all-time meltdowns, guys. That is just
that was, and she's kind of in the middle of an all-time meltdown.
She burned down her own gym or something?
Yep, burned down her own gym.
Allegedly.
I love her, man. She is just absolutely crazy. It's so great, man. It's so great to watch Mickey Mouse Club kids just implode later in life.
Timberlake's been okay.
Oh, I forgot he was on. Yeah,
he was on it with Britney.
Mm-hmm.
Just a true success story.
JC was on there too, I guess.
Huh.
And somebody told me once Jason Mraz was on there, which is interesting to me. I don't know if he was or not, but I know he was in a boy band. I'll make it quick, guys. This whole thing with Brandon Kennedy and then Cade Mays, which is great. We all kind of knew that was coming, I think, because he lawyered up well and he deserved it. He actually, you know, the truth shall set you free, right, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
It got me looking back at that 2015 class where Brandon Kennedy was in. You realize we recruited 5 offensive linemen and 0 of them were centers or offensive guards. Isn't that strange?
We had 5 tackles?
Shouts out Butch Jones.
We had 5 tackles.
Unless you just thought, hey, I think this guy translates
moves
to guard, yeah, more so than he does a tackle.
But still.
The only one that would have even done that, in my opinion, was Vinzel Bulware in that class. But all that to say, the funny part is I was looking for, you know, to see where Brandon Kennedy would rank in that class as our guard. And, well, technically, no one was. And I guess technically, where we had that guard. But, guys, then it got me looking at the whole class. Do you realize we had 9 guys off that out of that class get a cup of coffee or still play in the NFL? 9.
It's a good class.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And what was the best we ever did with him? 9 wins? Awesome.
Yeah, and blew the East.
No doubt. Well, on to more positive things. Yesterday, somebody tweeted it, and I retweeted because I thought it was hilarious. Somebody tweeted, Eric Gray just ran for 300 more yards this year. And I agree with that. I cannot wait to watch our offensive line road grade. It gives me hope for week 1, even if we have a bunch of guys out for coronavirus, because I think we can just manhandle people on the offensive line. And I think if you can control the line of scrimmage on the offense for Tennessee, especially this early in the season, because defenses are typically ahead of the offense, I think Tennessee will win that game. So there's your little cup of positivity, guys. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Roberto.
Thanks for the call. What do you think about what Matt said about how he feels like the team hasn't gelled for a season?
I would agree with 2018. I thought they gelled midway through last year.
They kind of had to come to battle
back. Yeah, there's no way you win those games.
And then Garantano went rogue. Like, you kind of had to have the team forgive him almost, right? Like,
I mean, to play for him. He did. He stood up and apologized. But, yeah. I mean.
They do still struggle. I do feel like what's most frustrating to me is I feel like they struggle still with, like, basic stuff sometimes. It's like we just – you know, we either can't hold on to the football or we can't line up right. We can't substitute on defense without having to call timeouts because we're about to get a 12 guys on the field penalty. Like, that's the stuff that really, from a coaching standpoint, I hope is cleaned up. Now, I'll give them a pass if there's the occasional lapse, especially with the way prep's been this year. But as Matt said, I mean, everybody's dealing with that. So
yeah.
If our offense is sputtering – and Mike Bobo in year one with a transfer at South Carolina is going up and down the field, that's a problem. Like, that can't happen. I mean, we should be as sharp as South Carolina is on offense easily. Not to mention the talent discrepancy, and he's right. Like, we have recruited there was that stat from 2 years ago, as Dan Mullen and Jeremy Pruitt both took over their program at the same time, that the Florida talent and the Tennessee talent is pretty similar. I mean, we kind of give Pruitt a pass for that because we know that Butch Jones had a lot of kind of a fake talent boost. Mm. And I think, you know, as you watch those teams play, you kind of see that manifest. But I mean, Dan Mullen's been a better coach than Jeremy Pruitt through 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, even grading on a curve. Even if you say, okay, Mullen should be this good because he's, you know, at Florida and then Pruitt should be this good. You know, Pruitt's come in under that mark and Mullen's come above that mark. So that's just kind of where we are. Pruitt to me gets one. He gets kind of one big pass, and so I'm giving him some grace on that Tyson Helton hire because I said the day they hired him, the thing you have to get right, the most important thing to do when you're a defensive minded first year head coach is to hire the right offensive coordinator, and he blew it. I mean, it was awful. It was a disaster. I don't mean Tyson Helton's a bad coach. He might be. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
But it didn't work here.
It didn't work here. That decision was a failure. And so then he went out, and we had to do, 45, 50 days of shows?
It was like 47 days of OC watch.
Who the new OC was going to be. But it feels like he at least got that right the second time.
On paper, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's now back on the pro side of the Jeremy Pruitt grading scale. So now we'll see, you know, how it translates with the players and the quarterback position. Obviously, will be a lightning rod spot this year. Everything they do will be a thing. But when I watch NFL football early in the season, it's the same thing. The teams that are always good year in, year out, even when they haven't hit on their draft picks right, or even when they have some issues at certain positions, the organizations that have great attention to detail and do things the right way, they come out week one and they play clean. They don't turn the football over much. They manage the clock right. If they get in a close game, they at least push the right buttons, and maybe they lose it. Maybe they win it. But it just kind of makes sense. And then you have teams like Detroit, who it doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. For whatever reason, those organizations are just they're failing year in, year out. And even when their quarterback puts it right on the guy's hands to win the football game, they drop it. Like, just they cannot play clean. They cannot, you know, they just make mistakes no matter what. And Tennessee better get back to being that team
figures it out,
that knows what they're doing from jump street, so that when they do make some mistakes, and I remember Philip Fulmer's team's not playing well, but still winning.
Find a way.
You know, you got to be that team again. And the more you go through years and years and years of not being that team, the more you go from being the Green Bay Packers to the Detroit Lions.
I think last year the back half was such a big deal, because you started to make those plays in close games. You got the defensive stops. You got the late touchdowns. You did the little things that you had to do to win those games.
I know this is very cliche, but, I mean, Tennessee will be in every game if every possession was to end in a kick. And what I mean by that is, you're punting it, you're kicking an extra point, or you're kicking a field goal. Like, our big issue has just been the ability to, one, kind of win the field position battle, and just, I mean, turnovers. Like, I think the statistic, I mean, when we talk about Florida, the last time Tennessee won the turnover battle against Florida was 1999. Like, I mean, that's crazy. Like, winning the turnover battle, 1999.
Yeah. No. The Missouri game. I may just be slightly misremembering. It was a long time ago. I haven't rewatched. I haven't even looked at the stats or anything from that game, possession. But I feel like Tennessee kind of dominated the Missouri game. But because we had a dumb fumble, we just couldn't even hand the ball off. Like, that one play.
That was late, right?
Kind of kept them in. It wasn't super late, but it kept us from. I mean, I think even if you just gain like four more yards, you make a field goal easily, and you could have gone in and scored a touchdown. It felt like we were going up and down the field, but we just couldn't score enough. It was kind of like the Titans the other night. Like, yeah, we churning out the yards, but we keep missing field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee does that with turnovers sometimes. It's super frustrating. Or we'll give up just a cheap touchdown to the other team I mean, and
like South Carolina, the first play last year, like it's just stuff like that. You got to be able to cut down on those mistakes.
And it shouldn't be that hard. I mean, you're going to get games in the season. Like Mississippi State came in here and just was not ready to play at all. We didn't have to play that well to win that game. You're going to get those gifts from other teams. Mm-hmm. Be ready to accept them. Be ready to just make it happen.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. Last year, you did that for the most part.
Kentucky having no quarterback when they played you was a huge gift, and we almost kind of blew it.
We were down early. I mean, what was it, 14-0 at one point?
We went back to JG, and people were like, oh, God. And he pulled us through.
In fairness, they weren't bad with Bowden running around.
Yeah, I mean, but with that strategy, it was kind of made it like it made every play almost more important because it felt like it was going to be low scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
No, we'll come back with more. We'll get back to the phone lines. Final segment, hour two, coming back at you next. We were talking about that Kentucky game in the break, and intern Alex over was like, I can't remember how many times we turned it over or whatever, and I was like, yeah, I need to watch a replay or whatever. I went to the box score, and on the side, it showed a punt. You remember we had a low snap, and we kicked off that guy? They basically blocked the punt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Good times.
Good times. Tennessee did go on to win 17-13, so we'll take it.
Didn't give up a score after the first quarter.
You said it. Make good adjustments. I mean,
we blocked a PAT. Didn't we block a field goal late, too?
I know fans of a certain age say this, and Davey, you know, he plays his part as somebody that's just younger than that, so he doesn't have that. But, like, this is what Tennessee is supposed to be. Like, you roll out of bed, you play like crap, and you still beat Kentucky by four. Like, that's what I remember. Like, that mm-hmm. is Tennessee.
That's why last part of the season, I was like, okay, we're doing the things that we used to do all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, you go into the Florida game, and usually it's close, and you choke it away. I mean, that fits. Like, that makes sense in my head. But
easy.
You know, and then with Georgia, it's kind of all over the map. Like, if they're good, it's going to be tough. If they're not so good, we can beat, you know, we can pound them. Like, it just depends. And don't even start on Alabama. It's all or nothing with them. But anyway. Let's go back to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. We got Wes up next. What's up, Wes? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, boys.
Morning, bud.
Oh, long time.
Yeah, greetings from the mid-state, where we would gladly take back potholes on 440 and the mayor honking Bobo with the security detail in the cemetery for the incompetence we got running the city right now.
Things are hot there. I heard you're not getting an allowance this month from old the governor.
Yeah, no, we're not. But luckily, I'm down south in Williamson County, so I don't have to deal with that but 8 hours a day when I come up here to work. But, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that because it's a beautiful fall morning. Vest and pumpkin spice latte weather has arrived.
Amen, brother.
And we have had one of the most glorious 24 hours on Vol Twitter than we've had in a while, and I am not talking about the Cade Mays news, fellas. No, as good as that was the best thing that happened on Twitter yesterday was John Bryce's digital murder of Stab. Did you guys see that?
I did.
I did, yep.
Oh, my gosh. And, hey, by the way, Ben, being a kleptomaniac and a pedo is not a disability, my friend. But, you know, listen, hey, if Bryce was not enough, I urge people to go to the timeline of DR Vol. Now, you know, I know Davey's the legal expert here, but after the Bryce massacre, I don't see how you could call what DR Vol did anything other than abuse of a corpse. Oh, my God, it's glorious. Hey, I love you, fellas. It's 8 days till football time. Let's go!
Attababe, Wes. Bringing the energy.
Yeah.
Bringing the energy. Coffee flowing.
Woo.
Looking good. Yeah, yesterday was kind of fun.
He's on Central Time, too.
I know.
7:52 there.
Probably on his commute.
Uh-huh. I didn't even know. I had lost track of who Sab was on Twitter, you know.
He keeps changing it.
He had to change. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he gets out, he's like, oh, yeah,
damn it, time to change again. Yeah. Everyone hates me.
So, but yeah, that was something. I don't even remember what he's talking about.
Mutilation of a corpse.
What was it? He tweeted something about
idiots, right?
Yeah, about people.
I think John Bryce was just pointing out or somebody else was pointing out that the mayor of Nashville.
It was something about that.
Was corrupt. You know, they're hiding their numbers.
John Bryce quote tweeted Fox Nashville when they said, we're talking live about the emails from Nashville Mayor's office show disturbing revelation.
Mm-hmm.
John Bryce said, this is disgusting, should lead to lawsuits, damage to public trust. Cooper's unfit along with his deceitful brigade. And then Sab responded, I'm so sick of being surrounded by idiots like you. So the mayor's office lying to the public.
And somebody commenting on it.
Makes them the idiot.
Right.
And then John Bryce said, Ben, sign your name and admit you want to continue to steal from the government the same way you steal from VolQuesting 24/7.
If you don't know the backstory, Sab would just take the behind the paywall information from Rivals 24/7, anywhere he could find it, and post it like he was a
insider
recruiting.
I'm hearing,
yeah,
AKA Ryan Callahan just found out and reported.
I just read Brent Hubbs' War Room, and now I'm putting it on Twitter.
And then he gets called out and says, "It's public knowledge now. People are talking about it." Then you didn't get it from an insider. Just shut up. FYI, 2 hours into the second round at Wingfoot, golfers currently on the course are plus 76 on the day. Showing his teeth. Wingfoot.
The wind up?
It didn't look like it.
Harder. Did you see?
He got something.
Did you see Zach Johnson's hole out from where he putted it past the hole up the hill?
No, you mentioned this yesterday. I didn't see it.
No, this was after the show.
Oh. You mentioned a similar shot.
Similar shot, but it actually happened in the round. He did it on purpose. It was brilliant. Putted it uphill.
He did it on purpose?
Yeah. It was in like this – the hole was in like this bowl. So he put it over the first hill, up the second hill, and then it tracked all the way back into the hole.
I'm watching it now. Holy cow. This goes in?
Yeah. And I hope you have the view from behind him where you can see how hilly – those two mounds are.
That's ridiculous.
So is the course just dominating right now?
No, quite Justin the Thomas shot.
No, this morning
yesterday.
It is, though.
Okay. But yeah, what he's saying is today, now it's tough.
What's the...
Firmed up, I guess.
I guess the best score ever for like the U.S. Open is somebody... Like, there's only been like two people, I think, to go under par.
No.
To win at Wingfoot.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I was really confused when I started watching it. Is the normal one, it's in California, right?
Normal one what?
It always rotates.
It rotates.
You're probably thinking of Pebble Beach.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking
but
of.
Yeah, it just rotates around.
Okay.
There's certain ones that they just end up at more often than others. But it's not like the Open in Great Britain where there's a specific rotation, I don't think. I think they just set them as they come. You know what I mean? Like over there, it's like St. Andrews every so many years.
Yeah, the British Open is pretty weird.
And then they wrote, and then they have some others that they go to, that they can go to for like first time ever type of stuff. But the U.S. Open, it might like return to Bethpage Black, for example, or Pebble Beach or whatever.
Okay.
But there's no set rules on that. I don't believe. Could be wrong.
Yesterday in the combined rounds, there were 374 birdies, mm-hmm. 673 bogeys or worse. So far today, this is as of 26 minutes ago, 14 birdies, 65 bogeys or worse. That is 4.64 bogeys or worse for every birdie made today. It's going to be carnage. Phil Mickelson licking his chops.
The lowest score for a tournament ever, U.S. Open, if this is correct, it says Rory shot 268 in 2011 at Congressional. So I don't know what that it was to par, though. I don't know if that's a
That's what I was going to ask you, but if it doesn't say it.
It says 70. It says 72. That'd be 20 under.
Hmm.
Okay, so.
In my head, it was 18. I didn't know anyone had cracked 20 for U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Rory.
So that was 2011. But Wingfoot, I think what you're saying sounds right, Davey, about how Wingfoot's always been hard.
Juicy.
Apparently that's not right. It must have been a par 71 because this says Koepka and McIlroy both have been 16 under.
Okay.
Is that your phone?
Yeah. No, according to Billy, they're letting the rough continue to grow. Started at 4 inches yesterday, and they're just letting it go wild.
They're not going to trim it all weekend?
According to Billy.
Awesome. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, Billy's a pretty big golf guy. So.
I mean, I've seen his profile picture, so I know.
Okay. Mm.
Hmm. All right.
It's going to be fun to watch this weekend. It'll help me through the bad Saturday slate.
The bad football?
College football, yeah.
Who's got the broadcast starting on Saturday?
I think it's NBC.
And what time?
Well, usually the U.S. Open is on just like all the time. There's none of the weird master stuff, all that kind of stuff. Mm. It'll be on Golf Channel. If it's not on NBC,
Golf Channel today or yesterday and today, correct?
No. I think it's Golf Channel to like 2, and it was on NBC yesterday afternoon.
Dang it.
What?
Missed it.
Oh.
I thought it was Golf Channel all day. Mm. That's on me.
No, usually the U.S. Open, they just show the whole damn thing. I mean, it's great. Like, you can watch it even on Saturday, if somebody's going low or, you know, making a move, you'll be able to see it. I don't know about going low, wing foot, if the rough's continuing to grow.
I don't think that's
going
to happen.
So, like, today,
going par at wing
7:30 to 9:30 a.m., which is almost over, is on Peacock, which is, I think, the streaming premium service. Then 9:30 to 4 is on Golf Channel. Then 4 to 7 is on NBC.
4 to 7?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you.
I switched over earlier. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I wish it was like 2 to 7.
It'll be fun. What, do you not have Golf Channel?
Mm-mm.
Really? And you don't have NFL Network?
You don't have to rub it in.
Hour 3 next.